Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Friday, December 14th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. In today's episode, it's going to be the preview of the game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Miami Dolphins. The Vikings come in at 6-6-1. The Dolphins are 7-6. This game will be in Minnesota. As you can see, at least record-wise, these two teams are pretty close to each other. Now, first things first, I hate to say it, but we must move on from the miracle in Miami now, and it's time to focus on the week that's ahead. The Dolphins, of course, are very much in the hunt. They share that second best wild card record with the Ravens, the Colts, and the Titans, so they're all fighting for that last spot. It will probably be the Chargers, the Chiefs, or the Steelers who will likely get the first spot, so the Dolphins will be fighting for that second one. If the Dolphins tie with the Ravens or Titans, they more than likely will get in with a better conference record. If the Dolphins tie with the Colts, they will not make the playoffs due to their loss against them earlier in the season. So the Dolphins' main opponent through all of this would be the Indianapolis Colts. If the Texans win the AFC South, the Dolphins must have a better record than the Colts. It's as simple as that. NFL Network analyst Cynthia Freeland, sorry if I mispronounced her name, she created a model to project each team's chances of reaching the playoffs. Her model right now gave the Dolphins a 20% chance. So right now, the Dolphins must focus in on their next matchup. That's the Minnesota Vikings. A win is a win, but the Dolphins came two last-second plays from losing both of their last matchups. So they've been very, very close wins that could have gone either way. So at some point, the Dolphins need a dominating win. Tannehill is coming off of one of his best performances this season. I think it was still far from the elite status that many are giving him after looking at his completion percentage in his rating, but I don't want to undervalue it at all. It has been very good. It's been good. That's what I'll say. But I think it seems like people have a problem differentiating good and just elite, or like he is masterful, because it is still, it's far from that. You know, when you're throwing less than 20 passes and more than half or shorter than 10 yards, your completion percentage should be high, and that's what I would expect. And there's certain passes that he should be making, because that's throws that a starting quarterback typically makes. So I won't drool over these 200-yard games where 120 or 140 are yards after the catch. Again, he has been good. He has been efficient. He's looked pretty great at times as a game manager, but I'm still waiting on a performance that will make me think he is more than a game manager. Now, Tannehill still owns the active streak among starting quarterbacks without a 300-yard performance, which has now been extended to 18. So that's all I'll say. I'm waiting for him to have a performance that really just shows that he can break out. The last time he played the Minnesota Vikings, he had 396 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The Dolphins got a win. That's the kind of performance that I'm waiting on. And of course, if the game flow doesn't go like that, if he doesn't need to do that, I don't expect it. But there have been certain losses this season where we didn't pass as much as I think we needed to, and it should have been a big performance from Tannehill, and the combination of him with the play calling didn't allow him to do so. So first, let's take a look at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are led offensively by quarterback Kirk Cousins, who signed that massive $84 million contract in the offseason. Cousins started the season off red hot. He was averaging 346 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions through the first 4 games of the season. Lately, though, he has struggled a bit. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions through his last 4 games. Now, Kirk Cousins in 2018 has a completion percentage of 70.6. He has 3,698 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. There's only one quarterback in the NFL who has a higher completion percentage than Kirk Cousins this season, and that is Drew Brees, and Kirk Cousins has thrown 100 more passes than him. For perspective, the Dolphins have thrown 377 passes all season. Cousins has completed 370. So Cousins is in a really good position here in Minnesota. He has quite an impressive arsenal of receivers here. Of course, he has Adam Thielen, he has Stephon Diggs, and both of them are having career years. Thielen is a fifth-year veteran who was undrafted. He is dominating the league this year. He leads the league in receptions. He is third in yards, and he is tied for third in touchdowns. In 2018, he has 103 catches, 1,236 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Now, Thielen may not have the same athleticism as Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins or Michael Thomas, but his gritty style has placed him among those players. He receives an elite status. Now, he started off fast. He had 8 straight games of 6-plus catches and 100 yards. He also had a touchdown in each game through weeks 4 and 9. Since then, he has slowed a bit, but it's not really enough to ignore what he is capable of. Stephon Diggs could easily be a wide receiver one on most teams, but Thielen's success has overshadowed what has still been a very impressive year from Diggs. Diggs is also on pace for 1,000 yards this season, and he has really established himself as one of the most precise route runners in the entire NFL. Thielen and Diggs have more catches, 191, and yards, 2,151, than all of the Dolphins receivers this season combined. The Dolphins receivers have 157 and 2,080 yards. Now, there's also another receiver on this team that has a pretty nice skill set, and that is Laquon Treadwell, the former first-round pick out of the University of Mississippi. He is not having a great year. It's been pretty quiet. He has 34 catches, 298 yards, and a touchdown, but he is a guy who could not be ignored. Tight end Kyle Rudolph has also been a consistent part of this Vikings offense for the past 8 years. He enters this game with 470 receiving yards, which is 8th among tight ends. He has only caught 2 touchdowns this season, which is a significant drop because the last 3 seasons he had 5, 7, and 8. So watch for him to push that number up in this game. The running back group has talent, but has not been utilized as heavy as last season. Last season, the Vikings touted the number 7 rushing attack per game in the league. This season, they dropped to 30th. Dalvin Cook is the lead back in this group. Despite Murray having the most yards, Cook has missed 5 games this season with injuries. He is a dynamic back who is capable of putting up huge numbers with a low volume of touches. Since week 9, he's had 2 games of 80 plus yards with fewer than 11 carries. If I had to compare him to any back in this league, it would probably be Aaron Jones, who had a strong game against the Dolphins in week 9. I would say that Dalvin Cook is a little bit better of a version than Aaron Jones. He is more athletic, and there's a reason that he was drafted so high. Now, Latavius Murray is the team's leading rusher. He has 470 yards this season. Last season, Cook was out with an ACL injury. Murray took the lead rushing duties over, and he had a pretty impressive season. He finished with 842 yards, and that was after starting just 11 games. Now, the two will split carries, with Cook having the pass-catching duties and Murray having the first down role. Despite dropping to 30th in the NFL in rushing, the two cannot be taken lightly. They are both averaging over 4 yards a carry, and their struggles have mostly been attributed to it being such a pass-heavy offense. Now, let's take a look at the Vikings defense. The Vikings defensive rankings come in at 5th in total yards allowed per game, 5th in passing yards allowed per game, and 13th in rushing yards allowed per game. They are also 1st in the NFL in forcing fumbles. They have also given up the least amount of passing touchdowns this season, and they are the best in the league when it comes to keeping their opponents' third down percentage low. The Vikings defense is truly loaded with stars. They are led predominantly by former first round all-pro defensive back Xavier Rhodes. Rhodes established himself as one of the top cornerbacks in the league last season, but he has struggled this year. Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the number 74 corner in the league, which is a huge drop off from last season. There's also another first team all-pro in this Minnesota secondary, and it's Harrison Smith. Smith is having another great season. He leads the Vikings in interceptions with 3. Harrison also has 3 sacks on the season, which is tied for the second most among defensive backs with his teammate Mackenzie Alexander. Now, Eric Kendricks is the team's leading tackler with 102. Anthony Barr, the 6'5 outside linebacker, is also having a solid season. Pro Football Focus has him as the number 26 linebacker in the entire league. Defensive end Danielle Hunter is 4th in the NFL in sacks with 13.5. Now, here are my expectations for this game. The first one is if Howard doesn't play, Diggs and Thielen combine for over 200 yards receiving. It's gotten to the point where it's almost guaranteed that Thielen will get his. It will happen. You just kind of have to accept it the same way I said about Edelman last week. Expecting Minka to shut him out will be asking a lot. And then there's also Diggs, who is criminally underrated. He will likely be a difficult matchup for McCain and McTyre, whoever is lined up against him. And then you will also see some beautiful throws made by Kirk Cousins. I've watched him all year, and while he has struggled as of late, he has made some incredible throws. With the exceptions of Mahomes, Rodgers, and Breeze, I'm not really sure if anyone has made as many dimes of throws as Cousins this year. Now, my next expectation is that Tannehill turns the ball over at least twice. Now, he's playing on the road in Minnesota, which is known to be a rowdy place to play. Minnesota's defense has been shockingly average this season, despite having all of the main pieces from last year's juggernaut of a defense. Now, all the pieces are there, and throughout the season, we have seen flashes of them returning. They're really starting to pick it up as of late. They're number 8 in the league in sacks and first in fumbles. I would not be surprised if they have a strong outing here at home as they fight for their wild card spot. Now, my last expectation is also Tannehill, and I expect him to throw over 30 passes and have over 250 yards. Now, this is big because this is not the flow of the game that Miami wants to happen, but this is what I expect. This is not the game flow Miami wants. I think they would prefer to chip away at a team and keep Tannehill's usage down, but I think Minnesota in this game is successful at stopping the run and forcing Miami to throw. Now, Tannehill, again, he has played the Vikings once in his career. He finished the game 396 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a win. So watch for that to happen again, because I do think this is the game flow that Minnesota is going to try to impose on the Miami offense. Now, here are my keys to the victory. The first one, stop the run. This will be the key to the victory for Miami for the duration of the season, because it is their biggest weakness. The Vikings have Thielen, Diggs, Cousins, Rudolph. None of that will matter if Cook and Murray are driving down the field. Like last week with Patriots running back Sony Michel, who was held under 3 yards per carry, the Dolphins' first step towards a win will be eliminating the running game. Keep the Vikings duo under 150 yards, and the Dolphins can win this game. The next key to the victory is play mistake-free football. Looking back at last week, why did Miami win? And one reason is because the Patriots had more mistakes. New England really did beat themselves with the missed field goal, the sack before the half, the drop pick six, and of course the final play. They made mistakes and the Dolphins did not. This will need to happen again. Did the Patriots get shut out? No. Brady threw for 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Josh Gordon had over 90 yards receiving. Gronk had 107. The Vikings have a ton of offensive weapons. Like the Patriots, they will be moving the chain. So they need to play mistake-free football, less than 2 turnovers, and convert on more than 40% of third downs, and I think the Dolphins have a chance. Now, my last key to the victory is Tannehill will need to have his best game. If Howard indeed misses the game, the Dolphins will be in a horrible situation. Not only will Thielen be guaranteed to be racking up yards, Diggs will be doing the same, and then there's Laquon Treadwell, who could kind of take on that role that Cordarrelle Patterson had last week. Miami will need to match the Vikings' offense, which will require Tannehill to have one of his best games against a borderline elite Vikings defense. And those are my keys to the victory. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at ShadySteven, at Via the Source. I will never bash anyone for saying a different opinion than mine, so feel free to have an open discussion with me. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts and opinions. And that's how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.